was at church with his curious 5-year-old son for a recent communion service. The boy watched intently as his father received the elements and bowed his head to pray. A few seconds later, the father stole a peek at his unusually quiet son to see what he was up to. The boy was by then watching intently with his dad at prayer. The dad was delighted to see that the boy was observing the solemnity of the occasion. Good parental example, he thought. But his gratification was short-lived, as the boy leaned toward him and whispered, "What's that in that stuff? You ate it, and you went right to sleep." So today's sermon is about rest. So before I begin, I have some questions for you. Have you ever felt that you needed rest in a time that you also felt that you needed to be working? Have you ever felt tired or exhausted? Have you ever been desperate for rest, but also felt that there wasn't time to do so? I imagine many of us have. Feeling tired, but with no time to rest, isn't a great feeling, is it? And we let it go too long, and we can't get to a point, and then we get to a point where we feel mental and spiritual exhaustion accumulate, to a point that we, as servants of God, can no longer contribute, and our body starts to shut down. We can still feel the pain that comes through guilt and disappointment. Yes, I'm referring to the feeling of burnout, but also the feelings that go with it. Sometimes we need to pause and take care of ourselves and our needs rather than focus on the needs of others, the church, and our jobs. I am sure that we have all felt the strain of burnout in our lives, and I want to share a story about when I experienced burnout. I was working at our church camp, Camp Christopher, and I was the leader in charge of camp programming. I loved that job, and I had been working there for 6 months to organize a week of camp that would be fun and full of the Holy Spirit. As the summer progressed, I continued to be inspired by the growth of the staff week by week and the compassion that I carried for each new round of campers. I wanted them to get the most out of their camping experience. But I began to get sick. I didn't know it at the time, but I was battling a very nasty virus. But I just thought it was a cold, so I continued taking Advil, hydrating, and working. But something really scary happened on the last full day of a camp at the beginning of August, and my illness rapidly progressed, so I had to decide what to do. Do I leave the camp a day early to find a diagnosis and pray that I'd be back next week for the next camp? Or should I remain at the camp and finish off the last part of the programming for the week? It might have been a simple decision, but there was a problem. Despite how horrible I was feeling, the thoughts of leaving my camp gave me mental and spiritual anguish. I felt that leaving would disappoint all who were there. And ultimately, I made the decision to leave. And when I returned home, I decided to go to a doctor, and they told me that my health, being as poor as it was, they recommended me not to return to the camp that summer because I needed rest. Through my compassion for others, I forgot that I also needed to give compassionate care to myself. In both our readings from 2 Samuel and Ephesians today, it tells of the kingdom of God through an interesting illustration. We see it being described as a household of God, as a place for refuge. But we all also have our own role in this household. First, let us unpack the idea of a household. There are many definitions. But for today, I would like to think of the household of God as a space ruled by God, our Maker, in which we all have our own responsibilities to keep the household running smoothly. In this place, we are all equal in the eyes of our Creator. And if we don't complete our responsibilities, the household may suffer. But we can redirect the household back to a healthy state. While we have a role in the household, the household is also one of retreat and respite, which can combat burnout. And through our gospel scripture, it is said that Jesus definitely understood this. Let's review the scripture. After the death and burial of John the Baptist, Jesus and his disciples discussed all that they had done since Jesus had given them their mission as his disciples. Jesus said, "Let us go to a deserted place where we can find rest." A large crowd surrounded Jesus, and there was no place for them to stop, rest, and eat. They went in a boat to a quiet place, but as they crossed, many people saw and recognized Jesus and his disciples, and a large crowd of people began to recognize Jesus. And a large crowd began to form as people recognized Jesus. They ran to where the boat was to land, arriving before Jesus, and his disciples made landfall. Eventually, Jesus came, and he was once again surrounded by a crowd larger than the one that they had left. He showed compassion and care to each person, because they were like a sheep in a flock with no shepherd. Then Jesus sat down in the crowd and began to teach them. They had crossed over at Gennesaret, and they had moored the boat. And when they exited the boat, people recognized Jesus wherever he was, and the sick were brought to him for healing. Wherever Jesus went into villages, cities, or farms, the sick was laid in front of him so that they may be healed from their afflictions, and by his touch, all were healed. We get the sense that wherever Jesus went, it was likely a large crowd of people would not be far behind, or they'd be waiting for him at his destination. And with each miracle that he performed, the crowds got larger. Throughout each gospel, we see a single narrative where Jesus goes to a quiet place for prayer. I think that this was Jesus' attempt to escape a form of burnout. However, we also see that sometimes Jesus and his disciples didn't get the rest that they needed because of the crowds constantly following him. Our scripture today is one of those cases. The crowd met Jesus, but he wasn't angry. He didn't lash out at them for interrupting his plan, like some would. He chose to listen, care, and be compassionate to everyone who joined him. He may have wanted a quiet place to meditate and to share a meal, but instead he quieted the crowds by teaching them and feeding them with his faith, peace, and compassion, and each in turn to the flock of followers he was shepherding. Finally, they were filled with food, knowledge, and the Holy Spirit, and the crowd dispersed. Jesus then sent the disciples back in the boat so he could have time for peace and reflection. So why did Jesus continue to participate in the crowd? I think that he had the foresight to understand that if he tried to leave again, it would just have a similar outcome, and the crowd would continue, which was displayed at the healings of Gennesaret. Jesus understood that before he could rest, he needed to comfort those who were in unrest. He could not have the physical quiet until he performed his mission, bringing more people into his flock and strengthening and spreading the word of God's love. But we also have to understand that Jesus is divine. He was able to take on the constant strain of the crowds if they wouldn't disperse. Whereas we are mortal. We can't do that. We can't stretch ourselves because we will become too thin and eventually we will break or be burnt out. We are all a part of Jesus' flock or the household of God. While it isn't a physical building or location, it is a place that we are all welcome. And Jesus is our cornerstone. And the good news of his resurrection is what feeds us and makes us complete. And the love of God is constantly surrounding us. We are all stewards of Jesus's of compassion and peace. And our role in the household is to show compassion to others and let them feel the comforting and transfiguring power of God's love through the Holy Spirit. We too are shepherds in this ever-growing flock of the household of God. But we also have to have compassion for ourselves and understand that in our own absence, there will be someone supporting the load that each of us has to shed in order to take the rest that is needed. And our tasks will be waiting back for us, for our souls and spirit and our health once we are restored. Friends, hear this. God created us and he knows all of our limits. He gave each of us a limit. While we all have our own duties in life and God's household, there needs to be time for restoration, giving us time for healing and meditation from physical and mental spiritual burnout. God gave us this limit, and we must listen compassionately to our mind, body, and soul to know when we need to rest. The household needs compassionate people, but if we are not compassionate to ourselves, we cannot fully contribute to the household. So the next time you are feeling like you're beginning to be burnt out, stop and take time, the time you need, because you were created by God and he gave you a limit. And it is part of your job as a steward to rest and replenish by taking the Sabbath and thereby strengthening and revitalizing your role in the household of God. I'd like to end my sermon today with an illustration. According to the Greek legend, in ancient Athens, a man noticed the great storyteller Aesop playing childish games with some little boys. He laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he wasted his time with such frivolous activity. And Aesop responded by picking up a bow and loosening its string and placing it on the ground. Then he said to the critical Athenian, "Now answer the riddle, if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." The man looked at it for several moments, but had no idea what point Aesop was trying to make. Aesop explained, "If a bow is always bent, it will eventually break. But if you let it go slack, it will be fit for more use when you want it." People are always like that. That is why we need time to take rest. In today's scripture, Jesus prescribed time off for his weary disciples after the day they had returned from their prolonged period of ministry. And in the Old Testament, God set a pattern for us when he said he rested from all his work. Genesis 2, verse 3. Shouldn't we take his example seriously? Start by setting aside a special time to relax physically and renew yourself emotionally, spiritually, and you will be at your best for the Lord if you have taken time to loosen your bow. The word of the Lord. Amen.